When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I really liked it. I thought it was really lovely. It's kind of really shot really nice and warmly and homely as well. And the relationship she has with her dad is like really lovely as well. So yeah, I really...
It is a film that I've recommended to everyone. Anytime anyone says, oh, I don't know what to watch on Netflix. I'm like, have you seen the half of it?
It's just about that kind of initial feeling that a lot of queer teens have, which is that kind of first exploration of, I like this person, but I shouldn't, but do I, but should I, but they don't like me back. Okay, we both like each other, but kind of thing. So yeah, it was interesting. I mean, yeah, it's probably not right that she catfished all that time, but you know, she needed the money.
Hello, film fans. Joining FlixWatcher today, we have Neha.
Hi.
Karis.
Hello.
And as always, Kobe.
Hello.
And we're here to review The Half of It.
Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us remotely, we have Neha and Karis. If you could please say hello to our listeners, tell them about the pod work you do and a bit more about who you are.
Hi, I'm Karis and Neha's here too. We have a podcast called Not Having It All. It is a film and TV podcast, but with a bit of a laid back attitude. We do know a lot about film. I went to film school. I'm a filmmaker, and Neha is very much into film and media, but we get things wrong. We say the wrong names. We get the dates wrong. We can't believe that 10 years ago was 2011, but we just love talking about films and TV, and it's a safe space for us to do that. And we have a bit of fun with it too. We also do news and reviews. We talk about upcoming films and also have our own cinema rating, which is if we would run, walk, or slowly jog to the cinema. And that's us.
How come there's no option to not go to the cinema?
Because sometimes you just have to see it for yourself.
Sure. There is that sometimes. I can't remember what films I've seen where I've just gone, like Fantastic Four. Everyone said it was rubbish, but it's like, no, I need to see it. I need to see it myself. Yeah, and it was horrific. And I've told people that. And they've gone since and they've told me it's horrific. And I was like, yeah, I told you, but you had to go and see it for yourself. So,
yeah. Sucker for punishment. See, people say the film's crap. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to watch that then. I'll heed your warning.
Now, who are you?
Who am I? I am the lazy person who doesn't really go and see films in the first couple of days, unless it's like something I really want to see. But I tend to listen a lot to what people tell me. Mm. So yeah, maybe I need to shift that up. Maybe I need to go and see some like crappy movies just to experience that, be wrong in my wrongness.
Oof, fair enough.
Maybe not at London prices.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I have a Cineworld card, because then you pay £20 a month and you can see as many films as you want. And it's just more about just time.
I will say I watch more crap films when I had a Cineworld card. It almost invites you to do it.
It did do it. There's like one stage of my life where I didn't look at the TV guide. I just went, I'll just go to the cinema because it's the same price. It's free. I've paid an hour and I'll go and see many bad films, but many more awesome films. But yeah, tell us a bit about Not Having All. Do you talk about films specifically in each show, or is it a vibe each time? Do you kind of mix it up?
We mix it up, yeah. So, I mean, the news and reviews is a new thing that is pretty consistent. We have Laverne, who's great.
Yeah, she drops in, doesn't she?
Yeah, she drops in, talk about news and reviews, and she's great. But yeah, we switch it up. So we'll do an episode about a specific theme. So maybe we're talking about LGBT plus characters in cinema, or we're talking about, we recently did one on Angela Bassett. So we'll do sort of like actor, director focused episodes. And they're all really fun. We get to learn a lot about the themes that we're also working on. So it's just a fun journey for us to be on. And like Kara said, everything is very casual and we make mistakes and it's fun and it's very kind of collaborative. So it's a good time.
Well, speaking of LGBT characters, you brought in the half of it, which is your choice, Neha. Can you tell us why you chose it? And then you've got 60 seconds or less for a synopsis.
Cool. So why I chose it? Three reasons. Anytime there is a lead character who's a person of color, I'm very much into that. It's what I love most. So the minute I found Leah Lewis was going to be in this film, and it was also directed by an Asian woman, I was like, yep, I'm in, I'm going to watch it. I also love love. So if anyone does listen to Not Having It All, romance is like my favorite thing. I am a cheesy bee. So when I found out that there was that element, I was also into it. And also coming of age. So many good coming of age films. Like, it's very much something that I'm into. So it all sort of tied into something that I think I was going to enjoy anyway. And I did.
Had you not seen this before choosing it?
No, I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
So time for the synopsis.
This stresses me out, but let's try it.
Keep it simple.
Okay, keep it simple. So it tells the story of Ellie Chu, who grows up in Squamish. Ellie Chu is played by Leah Lewis. And she lives with her widowed father. It's just the two of them. And she also kind of helps him with the station, Matt, because he's a station manager. She does all of that. She's quite introverted. She doesn't have a lot of friends. She makes extra money doing kind of popular kids' homework for them because she's really smart. And she meets Paul Munsky. Got 35 seconds, right? She meets Paul Munsky, who likes a girl named Asta, and gets in touch with Ellie and was like, hey, can you help me get Asta? So Ellie decides that she's going to help. And then along the way, Ellie, kind of, you find out that, you know, she likes Asta. You've got this whole sort of like her friendship with Paul, and there's like religious stuff, and I'm running out of time, but that is the film. It's coming of age.
I kind of like the pressure that this puts on you. I should say that myself and Helen had to do this for our 200th and 100th episode, mm-hmm. and it is hard to get the synopsis down. So well done. Karis, what are your thoughts on the half of it?
So what will happen with me and Neha is that if we watch a film we really love, we will text each other straight away. And I got a text from her when this first came out, which I think was late last year or earlier this year. I said, you have to watch this film. It's so brilliant. It's LGBTQ. We've got like a person of color lead, like you have to watch this. And I was meant to, and then I didn't. And then we did it for this podcast. So I was like, I'm going to have to watch it now. the film is great because 20 years ago, the story would have been that the girl falls in love with the guy. Like the guy, like Paul needs Ellie to write him love letters for this Asta. 20 years ago, they would have fell in love, just Ellie and Paul. And there's elements in the film where you think it's going that way and it doesn't. And I love that. But I love that it was very much about a coming of age element in a small town as well, and how she is the geeky girl. And she kind of has the whole, like, she's going to a party for the first time. She's getting drunk for the first time. She's enjoying new things for the first time. And you've got this kind of teacher, like, everyone wants that teacher that really loves them, like, it's that surrogate parent. So there's all these brilliant little elements, but the twist of her being gay is just so brilliant. And it's not like it's very much in your face, like, haha, you didn't see that coming. It's so sweet and lovingly done. And the religion bit as well, like, there's so many different things going on. It's quite a wild film for something that's actually quite simple and laid back and quite funny as well. So yeah, that's why I really, really love this film.
Helen, what are your thoughts?
No one's mentioned taco sausage yet. So there's also taco sausage. Yeah. I'd never heard of this, and I was just like really, really enjoyed spending time with Ellie. I thought Leah Lewis was so brilliant. Like, absolutely loved her. Sharon Van Etten's 17 is like one of my favorite all-time songs. So that needle drop was like, yes, this is the film I want to be watching now. And I really, really love the ending. The ending is just like, love is messy and disruptive and nothing kind of gets like neatly tied up at the end. And I thought, yeah, that's great. Like, no to like marrying the guy you're meant to marry and just like doing things that like scare you. So yeah. I had a really great time with this, and it just really like pleasantly surprised me, because you never kind of know what you're going to get with kind of like
sort of slightly rom-commy things on Netflix can either go either way. But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really lovely. It's kind of really shot really nice and warmly and homely as well. And the relationship she has with her dad is like really lovely as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think we are at quite an exciting time. I'm sure you guys talked about it more in your podcast where, like I say, person of colour is the lead and female director. So we've had Always Be My Maybe on here. We've had To All the Boys I Loved Before, which have both scored pretty high. And it's great seeing more of these films. It's great seeing like Lulu Wang doing well. It's great seeing Chloe Zhao, Kate Herron smashing out the park with Loki. There's more and more female directors implanting their voices on this. And I completely agree with what Karis is saying. If it was 20, 10, 5 years ago, the story would have been different. They would have, Muncie would have got the girl, or they would have got together and it would have been like, oh, this is a bit shit. It's what you would have expected. I can't remember what happens in Roxanne or Cyrano de Bergerac. I've only seen a long time ago, but I assume that's what kind of happens. I think it's just a really nice, tight film. Perhaps not my favorite. I think I much preferred To All the Boys I Loved Before, but I'm always going to be happy seeing more and more of these films. In terms of the LGBT plus side of things, I'm not even convinced that she was necessarily gay, but I think she just really loved Asta, and Asta was like her full focus. But also I love the fact it wasn't about her being potentially gay or not. And this is what we need more from in stories. It doesn't need to be the thrust of, here's a gay person. This is their story. This is like, here is Ellie Chu and she's in love with this person and she happens to be a woman. And that's subtle differences. And I think we're starting to see more of that, and we need to see more of that just generally and not make a deal of it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. I think interestingly, what's really cool is that Alice Wu, who directed the film, said that when she first went to make the film, the characters, like they were set, I think they were in their 20s, and the kind of original idea of the film was based on Alice Wu's friendship with a man that broke down because that man entered a relationship. And so it really is the story between Paul Munsky and Ellie Chu, and not necessarily the breakdown of their relationship, but sort of those kind of like trials and tribulations of, you know, you had that whole thing where he told Ellie that it was a sin for her to be anything other than straight. Like you had all of those like little pockets.
Yeah, that was dark.
Yeah. And that kind of exploration about how actually sometimes platonic heartbreak is very real. Like we've all, I'm sure we've all lost friends, or we've all kind of drifted apart from people that we were once really close to. And that's really quite that's just as devastating as breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So I thought that really spoke. I think that once I learned that, I could really see it in the film on the second watch.
I think that the relationship with him was really powerful. And there's that scene where Paul asks Ellie, why are you still here? Why are you going to stay here? And she kind of gets uppity about it, because obviously she's thinking about, I need to be with my dad, I need to be close. And he just kind of lays out his story. He's like, look, I've got nothing here. My whole life is making sausages and no one's interested in me making a slightly different sausage. But that's where my life is. And, you know, it's really simple, but kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. And that really was like that kind of outpouring. It was like, oh, this guy's not, that is perhaps simple, but he's not to be written off. You know what I mean? And that's where the relationship really held together. And him taking her out when she was too drunk, beautiful. It's that kind of stuff. It's like, you've had too much. I'm going to take you home, take care of you. Didn't take advantage, which is what you probably see in some films as well. And it was just a nice interplay between them both, I thought.
Mm, yeah. And like the writing of the letters, you know, they kind of have this like real genuine connection, obviously not with the people that they think it is with, but kind of having someone who kind of gets you and understands you and kind of like feels how you feel. It was just kind of like really nice to see that play out. But then also it was like, didn't end up in kind of like a happy ending kind of way. So it's like, this is kind of reality, that sometimes you think things can be kind of all perfect and wonderful and they might not work out. So it was kind of quite honest and not kind of the storytelling that we're probably used to, in that, you know, if you're this and this, you're going to get the girl kind of thing. So I find it really like refreshing and like quite thoughtful as well.
Yeah, it's interesting with the letters as well, because we talk about catfishing so much on Online Element, but people have been doing that for a very long time through letters and elements like that. And there's another Netflix film, Sierra Burgess Is Such a Loser. Is that the right one, Neha?
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
Yeah, so you had like a catfishing element there, where the kind of like less popular person catfishes someone who's quite popular, which, I mean, some people did that in my school. Did they do that at your school, Neha?
No, where did you go to school?
Okay, never mind. Never mind. But we you kind of have that element where it's, you're falling in love with a personality, and obviously it is an element of betrayal, but it's that genuine connection that you have. And I think for young gay teens, that's what happens quite a lot, is that they have this really great connection, but there's always that underline. And I love what you said, Kobe, about how we never find out if she's a lesbian and whether Asta's a lesbian or whether they're bi or whether they're pan. It's just this genuine connection and feeling they have for each other, which I think is really great. And I think a lot of films, they rush to label something so they can tick a representation box. And I think a lot of the time it's focusing on the story and the feelings and the elements of that. Like maybe Ellie went off to college and, you know, found a guy that she liked, and Asta went off and found a girl that she liked. It's just about that kind of initial feeling that a lot of queer teens have, which is that kind of first exploration of, I like this person, but I shouldn't, but do I, but should I, but they like me back. Okay, we both like each other, but kind of thing. So yeah, it was interesting. I mean, yeah, it's probably not right that she catfished her all that time, but you know, she needed the money.
She needed that 50 quid.
She did.
What do you reckon of Paul Muncy as a guy, as a character?
The himbo. So,
Neha has this this description she uses for every film we watch, which is where it's a lovable jock. And I was going to ask you, is this a lovable jock or is this a himbo? Because there's a difference sometimes.
I think he's a lovable jock.
Okay. He plays American football. Like, he's the star runner, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
He's got to be a jock.
So I think he sits on the fringe. I think we've got someone who is beginning to move out of that kind of stereotypical small town mentality that he's grown up in. Mm-hmm. In the way that I think we all do, that at that point when we leave our hometowns and start to experience the world, I think that's where he is. I love Paul. I think he could have been homophobic the entire film, but chose not to. And I feel like that's redeeming.
What I like is I do like this small town design. I think you see it mainly in US films where people feel either stuck or resigned to it, or they need to just burst out like some kind of cocoon. And I thought it was quite interesting that Ellie was happy to be resigned to it, but knowing that, but other people like, you should not be here. What are you doing? And I think like Lady Bird as well as it's North California as well as a, do we need to get out, or are you going to stay here even though you're far brighter than the town deserves?
Yeah, I agree. And I think what's really interesting about, and Helen mentioned this when, you know, she was talking about what she thought of the film, it's shot really well. I think there's this sort of, people have this image of small town America being very like tumbleweedy and not pretty and just kind of out in the sticks and very kind of desolate. But the way they do it, they make the town feel so warm, even though it is small and it is sort of, it's quite kind of, not a lot is going on. But you can, I feel like the way that the film is done, you can feel that there's heart, which I thought was really good.
I thought it was quite cute how they met, that kind of meet cute, even though they must have met before, and she's cycling uphill.
Yeah.
What turns out to be very slowly, or he's running super fast, which might be lent yeah. into his...
Yeah.
Hey, wait! And each time they met was on this strip. I was like, dude, just wait to get to school. Mm. You can talk to him.
Yeah.
Bye.
It's funny because we don't see that kind of small town conversation happen in the UK, like film, because it definitely happens. Like, it must happen in small like villages and elements like that. And like my best friend, like her family run a farm, and like they had that conversation a lot. Like, she thought, am I going to grow up and run this farm, or am I going to move away to university? And I think I love that small town element. Like, I love Friday Night Lights. I love the whole like this town only cares about one thing, and it's football and God, which is terrifying. But I liked how one of the things I loved is that there was always a desire not for them to just get with a boyfriend or girlfriend. It was to get something and get out. And I remember reading an interview where she kind of says, the lead actress Ellie Chu says, like, the film isn't about getting with someone. It's about getting something. Because at the end of the film, nobody ends up together. Like, no one goes off into the sunset together, which I think is quite a nice ending sometimes. I think a lot of films wrap things up too nicely. And even things like Superbad, no one ends up in the end together. And there's all these kind of, it's all about the journey. And I expected this film to be like, okay, they get together in the end and they go to prom and it's like two girls at prom kind of thing. And it didn't. It was more about kind of, I love films that end on trains because it's all very symbolic. I did my first film on a train. Like, it's all symbolic. You're going away in a journey, in a direction.
I did like that Chekhov's train where they set it up in the piece. And one thing I was genuinely horrified for them all was when, I can't remember what Asta's boyfriend, even though it wasn't so Trig. Clear whether they're together, Trig.
Trig.
When he proposed to him.
King of the Mud.
when he proposed to her in the church, and she said yes. I said no.
There was
no.
There was like a graduate moment, wasn't there? It was like the graduate, and I was like,
So I'm glad she escaped that, because again, that's kind of resigning yourself to the fates that you didn't really want. So I'm glad that didn't happen. At 18 to be proposed to and say yes.
People do that,
crazy,
though, don't they?
Yeah.
And then it's like, everyone. Sweethearts and the like boyfriends from high school. It's like, see the world.
I know.
Don't settle. It's the best thing, isn't it? It's like, she doesn't settle. And it's like, you know, you don't have to settle. This is a message in life to like every woman. You do not have to settle. You can dream bigger. And this film is an example of that.
I will say, I wish we saw more of Aster though, because I feel like she was a little bit one dimensional in a way. And there was only like small elements, like when she's in the school and they tell her to wear a scarf so she can match in with the other girls. So I feel like we could have seen a bit more of her. Like, there's that really nice moment where they're in like the hot springs and you get a little bit of a connection. But yeah, I feel like because she was this big option, like not object of desire, I still feel like I didn't know too much about her in a way. So yeah, that's probably my only criticism when it comes to character development. But we had so much of Ellie and Paul, so, and Trig Carson.
What do you think Aster was running away from when Paul tried to kiss Ellie? Was she running away from the fact that she thinks she found out she was catfished, or that she was feeling attracted to either Paul and Ellie, and she didn't realize there was a connection with them? Or that was kind of an interesting scene, I thought.
Yeah. Gosh, I'd not really thought about it. I think it could be any of them. Yeah, I would think that it was.
She says that she knew it was her anyway. At one point,
she knew all along. It's kind of deep down, she knew all along.
Yeah, that's true. I just got the feeling that she was quite overwhelmed. Mm. That everything sort of happened at the same time, and the only thing she knew how to do in that moment was to run, which I sympathize with, because I would have probably done the same if I found out that, you know, the guy that who's sort of hitting on me is basically hitting on me through someone else. Yeah, I would have thought she was just overwhelmed by the whole thing.
Yeah, it's quite a lot to accept as well. That someone's catfished you, but B, two people have been in on it. Because there's always that fear of humiliation as well, I think. Like, have they just been doing it to ridicule me and make me a bit of a joke? So I agree with you. It's probably a little element of fear. Or maybe she's just not comfortable around people kissing, you know.
Well, with that, should we head to the scores? Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
Let's go.
Hello, folks. I'm Sam.
And I'm Martin.
And every week for the last 5 years, we've got together to talk about the musician Tom Waits.
He's a gravelly voice singer that sounded like he doused his vocal cords in bourbon and set fire to them with a cigarette and wrote such classic songs as Way Down in the Hole, Downtown Train, Jersey Girl.
He's also the gravelly voiced actor from films such as The Ballad of Buster Scruggs and Seven Psychopaths, both of which coincidentally are on Netflix, and both of which Kobe and Helen have discussed here on FlixWatcher.
So make sure you check those episodes out. And when you have a little bit of a taste for the magic that is Tom Waits, why not head over to songbysongpodcast.com or search for Song by Song in your podcatcher of choice to listen to a little bit more about Tom Waits.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish. And we'll start with you, please, Neha, with your recommendability.
I'm giving it a 5. It is a film that I've recommended to everyone. Anytime anyone says, oh, I don't know what to watch on Netflix, I'm like, have you seen the half of it? So, yeah, straight up 5. I've done it to Karis.
But she didn't watch it.
I know.
Why didn't you watch it until you were forced to at gunpoint to come on this podcast?
I am like that with everything. I'm absolutely terrible. And I've always said, if you, like people who I used to work with, they'd bring me a DVD, and I find that an act of violence, because now I have responsibility of this DVD. And just to slightly go off track, someone gave me Meet Joe Black. I didn't watch it for 6 months.
I think one of the worst things for me is when someone says, you've got to watch this video on YouTube, and they present it to me on their mobile phone. I got to watch it with them. I'm like, if I don't like this, it's going to be the worst. If I really like this, it's still not. I'd rather just watch it in my own space and then coming back to them on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I'll remember
on times two speed. Yeah. My recommendability is going to be a 5 as well. When I recommend this, I wouldn't tell anyone what it's about. I think I'd just let them kind of go for it. Like, I think Neha just said to me, it's an LGBTQ, it's an Asian girl, you gotta watch it. And I was like, okay. Maybe you should have given me a bit more information and then I would have watched it sooner, actually.
Maybe the fact that you haven't watched it is my fault. Maybe this is just comes down to how I can't give synopsis. We've just seen it happen.
Yeah, yeah. she doesn't have a talent for that, to be fair.
No.
What's it about? No. Helen, recommendability.
I love this film. However, I think there are people who would probably not be into it because it is totally not their vibe. So anyone who's kind of like enjoyed To All the Boys recently and is kind of like looking for something a little bit different for kind of like their teen/rom-com kind of film, then this is definitely for them. But kind of like people who are really into John Wick and stuff, probably not going to be down with it. So I'm going to give it a very strong 4.5.
It's a good shout.
I'm going to give it a 4. Really enjoyed it, but I think it'd be harder for me to recommend it to people. I would steer them towards To All the Boys and Always Be My Maybe. And also like things like Hearts Beat Loud, which is still generally one of my favorite films of the past, my whole life. and this is kind of, it's in that kind of vibe. I think it just doesn't hit the kind of heights of those ones. But it's still definite recommend for people who I think are open, even slightly open-minded or just like teen films. Naya, repeat the score.
5. I mean, it only came out last year. I've seen it 3 times already. And I think the reason it feels very nostalgic, and nostalgia is kind of my thing. So it feels quite comforting. I feel like the ending, you can view it 5 times and still take different meaning from it. So yeah, I give it a 5.
Well, Lena, I've just given you that scene with the kiss, and you next time you revisit it, you'll maybe come up with a theory. And if you do, send us a message.
I will.
Karis, repeat the score.
I'm going to go lower on this because when it comes to dramas and things that are quite emotional, I don't like watching them again just because they are just so emotional. So like, I will rewatch like fuddy-duddy comedy films over and over again. But this, I'd probably give it a 2 because I feel like it was quite dramatic. It packed a punch and I wouldn't want to watch it again unless I was sharing it with someone else. So yeah, I'd probably give it a 2 for this.
Helen.
So I'm not going to rush back and see it. I realise that there's just not enough time to rewatch films unless they're like your favourite film, because they keep making more and we've got like more streaming choices. That said, however, if someone was like, oh, I want to watch it, would you want to watch it with me? I'd be like, as long as it's not like tomorrow, because I've just seen it like a few weeks ago, I'd probably be yes. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a two. I can't think of when. I think I'd watch other films ahead of it. It'll go like to the middle bottom half of my rewatch list, and by weight of sheer numbers, won't likely make it to the top again. So I'm going to give it a 2. Sorry, what did you say, Helen? What was your score?
3.
3. Small screen score.
Going to give it quite low, I think. If you haven't watched this movie before, I think the cinematography and just sort of that the vibe that it has, I think needs to be experienced on a bigger screen. And obviously it went straight to streaming, so I don't think any of us have watched it in the theaters.
Do you know anything about the release of this? Was it due to go in the cinemas or
no? It was a Netflix. Oh, was it, Karis?
No, yeah. So it was at Tribeca Film Festival, and it was meant to go because I can't remember who was going to pick it up now. But that pandemic thing happened and didn't go anywhere, unfortunately. But yeah, it was because it went up the festival. I don't know if it won anything, but it was like quite heavily anticipated. But unfortunately, the pandemic and cinemas weren't top priority.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't recommend watching it on a smartphone and things. So I'd give it a 2.
Okay. Karis?
I'm a bit torn on this because as much as it doesn't require a huge screen to take in the story, there's some really gorgeous cinematography in this film, particularly the kind of small town essence and like the road where he's running and she's on the bike. So I'm probably going to go for a 3. I'm going to go in the middle because I wouldn't mind going to the cinema to see this, but I still think you could probably watch it on your iPad and get along just fine.
Helen?
for the sake of the other cinema goers who would have had to listen to me singing along to 17, because I just can't resist that song. It's a good job that I did not see it in the cinema, or I would have got some very like, shut up, can't resist singing along to it because it's so good. I enjoyed watching it at home. The title is a little bit of one of those kind of like non-titles, and I would have been not really sure what this is about. Probably not going to go. So it wouldn't be one I probably ever would have like seen. So without you kind of suggesting it, it would have just completely passed me by. And that it's on Netflix is kind of like the only reason I probably would have seen it. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a high 4.5. This is, you know, at a time, especially with the Cineworld card and going to Pictures Central like 3 times a weekend, I don't think this is the kind of film I would have seen at the cinema. And I think I got enough out of it from watching it at home. That said, you know, some of the shots are nice. I think I like the shots, the scenes in the hot springs where they had the, you know, the side by side facing, with, you know, feet pointing out to each other. I thought shots like that were quite nice. But otherwise, yeah, I think great for home viewing. Engagement score, Neha.
So given that I've already watched it so many times, I don't think it'll be difficult for me to switch it off if I feel like I've literally got other things to do. So I'm going to give it a 4. But yeah, not because I don't like the film or I get bored by it, but just because I've seen it so many times already.
4 is pretty strong for an engagement score. You seem self-deprecating for it. Karis?
I'm going to give it a 3 because I did feel like in the middle there was this sudden rush in the pace. And I felt like, did I switch off for 10 minutes? I didn't understand that. And I rewound it a little bit. But I think I was captivated, but it is still a teen film. And I think sometimes you are a little bit like, oh, just bloody tell her already kind of thing. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to go in the middle again on that one.
Helen?
Yeah, it's a good length. I don't think it overstays its welcome. Our 45 minutes is pretty good. I just kind of had a real nice time with it. There's no like twists or anything that you're like, oh, if you went and made a drink or something and you didn't pause it, which would be a crime, so like, don't, you know, you can pause it, but if you did that you probably would come back and it would be fine. So yeah, strong 4 on that one.
I'm gonna go for 3.8, similar kind of reasons. I think it's, it kind of ticks along nicely, and there are some kind of peak points, like in the church. I think it's good, and I think some of the interactions with Ellie and her dad were really, really nice. That were very subtle, especially one thing I really liked was when Paul was there happily watching the film, sat between her and her dad, and that just seemed like a really cozy situation. And it's things like that which you kind of miss if you're twittering, if you're second screening at the same time. I'm going to go for 3.5 there, and that gives us an overall score of 3.78125.
That's pretty high.
Karis and Neha, can you tell us where we can find you online, where your podcast is, and say goodbye to all the listeners?
Hey everyone, or I should say bye everyone. You can find us at Not Having It All. You can stream us on Spotify, on Apple Music, wherever you get your shows, and you can find us on Twitter at Not Having It Pod. Couldn't fit the whole title in, sorry, but Not Having It Pod. You can find me at NehaJ_, and Karis, where can we find you?
At Karis Rian.
At Just Karis.
Just Karis. Yeah.
Which would be quite a good Twitter name, Just Karis.
I know. I'd feel like Will and Grace, just Jack.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm really enjoyed watching half of it. And there is a thing, as Helen said, about films with non-event names, because it is so hard to remember them sometimes.
They could have called it the name of the town. I can't.
Squamish.
Yeah.
Squamish.
Something Squamish or taco sausage or something. I don't know.
I could see taco sausage and that drawing a crowd in. Yeah.
More people would have watched it.
That could be a fun exercise for us, Neha, is to rename rom-coms with like strange titles.
That's exactly what I want. When you do that, tell us when it comes out. We'll retweet it.
Nice. That one. Yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Films with non-event titles, and you rename the title.
Yeah,
you rename the film.
I mean,
one of them should be Hearts Beat Loud, because that's some, like, 3 different people told me, Kobe, you'll love this film, and it's someone's like, what's the name again? Okay, good. So what's that again? Fine. Sorry, what's that? It just literally falls out of my head. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.